When Alice Wonderland took over Horizon's adult video store, she did so knowing that certain changes would need to be made. It was 1995, and that new thing called the internet was already changing the way people accessed pornographic media. A business that relied on magazines and VHS tapes wasn't going to survive, so Alice gave the store an overhaul, starting with the name. Horizons became New Horizons, and what was an adult video store was now an adult boutique. Alice infused the store with her own outgoing former stripper life of the party personality, making it more lively, decked out in bright colors, neon and glitter. The magazine and video collections remained, but they were made less of a priority, making way for a new selection of toys and lubes and edible stuff, stuff to get stiff and stuff for stuffing up butts. Mannequins posed with feather boas, leather and spikes, and house music greeted every customer who came through the door. Even the ill-reputed screening room was hosed down and given a fresh coat of shellac for easy mopping. No longer was the store a dusty, quiet place where creepy men would shamefully and wordlessly exchange cash for a dirty mag or movie. It became hip and welcoming, a place to hang out. It was the talk of the town. Alice had a few part-time helpers who would take shifts here and there, but her most reliable and dedicated employee was Jess. Jess was a high school dropout, gothy and awkward, 25 years old but often mistaken for 15, and she was working on that fateful day when she and two young men would go missing during the blizzard of 95. Jess rarely came to work alone. She usually brought a friend or two along. She claimed it was because it made her feel more safe working late shifts at an adult store. But really, it was just an excuse to hang out with her friends, gossip, drink Slurpees, and eat snacks. Alice didn't care. She liked it, actually. It made the store feel more alive and social. On the day of December 16th, 1995, there was a note waiting for Jess when she arrived at noon to open the store. "Storm's gonna roll in around 8 or 9 tonight, so go ahead and close up shop early at 5," it said. The first thing Jess did was go through the mail that had been sitting outside the door. Boring stuff, except for one box, heavily taped up, addressed to the store, but without a return address. Inside the box, Jess found a strange VHS tape. No packing slip or note, just a VHS tape in a white cardboard sleeve with no images, no tits or dicks, wet nurses or fingers, just a warning stamped on the cover. "Watch at your own risk." This tape includes the most graphic, gruesome, and shocking footage you will ever see. Jess likes a mystery and graphic imagery. She immediately called a couple of her friends with a plan.
Guys, you have to get over here.
That's her friend Soupy. Real name Jack, nicknamed Soupy because his last name's Campbell. Soupy is lumpy, has a reputation as a mouth breather. He's in love with video games and secretly in love with Jess. And that's Corey, her best friend with whom she is secretly in love. He exists on the border between charming and creepy, carries a pocket knife at all times, and writes poems about the sky. Corey sauntered into New Horizons with a "what's up," and Soupy arrived a few minutes later, pulling 7-Eleven nachos from his backpack with the announcement, "Snack train has arrived." "Hot vomit" was Jess's review. A grinning Soupy responded by extracting loads of additional junk food from his backpack.
"Airheads, Chuckles, Smarties, Warheads, cheese."
"Check this out."
Jess held up the mysterious VHS tape, and the boys snapped to attention as a homemade video held far more intrigue than the usual inertia of daily life in their small town, Niagara Falls.
"Chuckles, Smarties."
She explained that the tape came in the mail and that she was waiting to watch it once they were all together. Corey grabbed it, and the two boys inspected it front and back, inside and out. Nothing but the warning label. It's like the most fucked up shit ever. They theorized that this could be one of those underground tapes with beheadings from the Middle East on it and footage of tourists getting eaten by lions. In other words,
this could be gold.
Jess went over the full extent of her plan, which was, of course, to project the tape on the big screen in the theater after she closes up early, per Alice's orders. Her plan had a few holes in it. Will they get snowed in? Will they stay up all night? Are they going to walk the 4 blocks to Jess's place after for an emergency slumber party? But any loose ends were tied together when Jess pulled out a big box of chocolates. Boozy chocolates.
It's chocolate with beer in the middle.
Let's just take things one step at a time.
You can't be passive and just sit back.
As they waited for 5 o'clock to arrive so Jess could close up, the boys loitered around the shop, snickering at various titles of videos and magazines. They checked out the new toy arrivals and were impressed by the Donkey Kong, which was an oversized dildo, D batteries required, with several speeds and settings, slow, fast, turbo, pulse, and a setting called beast mode that made the dildo bray like a donkey and kick and buck and go wild. When they got bored of perusing the shop, all three of them sat around the counter, sometimes thinking about what they could talk about, sometimes talking about something that came to mind.
Did you hear the Summit Mall might be closing?
Yeah.
Fire alarm activation.
It became painfully dull. Finally, at 4:45, the phone rang. It was Alice. She told Jess that she could just close up right then. Storm was swinging through earlier than expected. Before she hung up, Jess casually mentioned that a package arrived with a VHS in it. Maybe she was hoping to get a little preview of what they were about to watch. But to her surprise, Alice said she knew nothing about it. Didn't remember ordering any new VHS tapes. It was closing time. It was movie time. Jess flipped the open sign to closed, and they retreated to the screening room. Soupy broke out the snacks, and Corey got comfortable in the newly upholstered theater chairs while Jess revved up the VCR and projector.
All right, you guys ready?
And then she pressed play. A blinding beam of light hit the screen. There they sat. 3 deadbeat 20-somethings in a room. A dark room, where the seed of so many unmet fantasies had been cast into a lifeless garden of disappointment. Where titillation marched blindly towards its ultimate barren demise. A room of purgatory, stained with the unbleachable unhappiness of an empty, perpetually unfulfilled rush. What could be expected of a video that came with so much intrigue, mystery, and promise? How could they enter this screening room with so much hope, knowing full well the looks on the faces of everyone that exits? How could they have expected anything but a letdown? What they saw on that screen was nothing but some black and white footage of a man in a cowboy hat and underwear, riding a hobby horse, waving and smiling at the camera. The man and the horse bobbed along to the most ridiculous music in front of a painted backdrop of palm trees. This went on and on and on.
Is this it?
Jess fast-forwarded the tape, but that's all that was there. There must have been hours of footage of that guy rocking and waving and smiling. I think we've been fooled, said Corey. This must be some sort of hoax tape. Then it was over, switching to staticky snow. They all stared at the static, transfixed, desperately hoping that something would follow, or even that they may make out something in the fuzz. Something weird, or something violent, or something funny, or something crazy. Anything. They'll take anything. Anything. They snapped out of it at the loud sound of the door blowing open, followed by whistles of wind. They rushed into the main room and found the door wide open, snow madly blowing in. Jess shut it and turned the lock. She was sure she locked it. With her back against the door, she threw her friends a worried glance.
This is really weird.
She paused to sniff.
What is that stink?
The boys joined in on the sniffing. Their noses led them towards the back of the store, closer to the source of the odor, which was as pungent as a porta potty at a biker rally. All the way in the corner of the store, they found a man who looked as foul as he smelled. partially lying down on the floor while propped up on one elbow, fingering into his mouth the last smears of nacho cheese from the 7-Eleven container Soupy had earlier thrown in the trash. It was a proper homeless drunk tableau. Everyone looked at each other in a game of charades, trying to figure out what to do and who was to do it. Eventually, Jess approached him, nervously twisting the black bracelets that ran up her wrist and beyond.
Dude, you have to leave.
The vagrant slowly lifted a video he pulled from the shelf, which he had tucked under his arm. It was a cruise ship theme porno called Toss Me a Dinghy. Can I buy this movie? He asked. Jess told him that he couldn't buy anything, the store was closed and he had to leave. But the vagrant refused to go. No, that's okay. Too cold out. I think I'll stay right here. There was a brief huddle. Soupy argued that they should just let him sleep it off in the theater, as it was too cruel to kick someone out into the cold. But Jess insisted that he leave. Alice might fire her if she knew that they hung out and watched movies after she was supposed to close up. Anyways, he's like homeless, and the homeless know how to live in blizzards, she said. Soon, a course of action was determined. Jess went behind the counter and pulled out the box of chocolates.
Okay, look. If I let you take the videotape for free, and I'll give you this box of boozy chocolates, will you leave?
He considered the offer while scanning around the store. And that, he pointed to an erotic novel titled Holy Anus, with some naughty nuns on the cover. Give me that book too. That looks like a good one. And then I'll be on my way. Jess tossed him the blasphemous novella. Okay, leave. He attempted to get up, but then stopped with a scream. Ow! Too tight! Too tight! He opened his coat, and there was a lot going on there. First, there was the corset he was wearing. White and red, perfect for Valentine's Day. Laced so tightly, you could see his ribs bending at acute angles and pinched flesh bubbling out over the rim. Above the corset was a grotesquerie of sores and boils on the man's paper-thin skin. The white satin fabric was stained with blood and yellow ooze that leaked from craters, and his nipple looked chewed off. It was just a dark, wet hole. And from the hole, a maggot peeked out to say hello. Holy shit, Corey shouted as Jess threw up into the box of boozy chocolates. No, not tight enough. This is what I deserve. I'm so bad and so are you, all of you. But the snow is here now to save us. The pure white snow. Submit. Submit a purifying baptism of snow. Jess signaled to her friends that enough was enough. And Soupy and Corey picked the guy up, slung his arms over their shoulders, and began escorting him to the door. They only got a few steps before the stranger begged them to be silent. Listen. There was the buzzing of the lights and the sounds of the storm, but nothing more. But Corey stopped in his tracks, suddenly focused on a sound coming from the other side of the door. What is it, Corey? He dropped the mystery man to the floor with a thud and stared at the door. And then the rest of them started hearing it as well. A knocking at the door. It's just a branch hitting the door, Soupy said, trying to convince himself. Corey kept walking towards it, slowly, with eyes wide, as if in a trance. The knocking got louder, becoming more of a pounding. Don't open it, Corey. But he couldn't help himself. He reached out, turned the lock, and put his hands to his sides, waiting for whatever was on the other side to make its way in. There was a tense 2 seconds where nothing happened. Just enough time to think that perhaps nothing will happen. All will be okay. It's just a passing storm. And then the door forcefully blew open. Corey faced out into the night as a barrage of snow and sleet rushed at him. With such force, it looked like it was attacking him. He began to spasm and started to scream. The door slammed shut, and Corey slowly turned to his friends. What they saw was the most fucked up shit they'd ever seen. The snow and ice pelted Corey's face until it pelted Corey's face right off, leaving only a shiny red skull face screaming with eyeless eye sockets. If you looked at Corey from the back, he still looked cool. Cute butt and jean jacket, nice mullet. But from the front, yeah, skeleton. The stranger laughed as Corey stumbled around eyelessly, bumping into several shelves of porn until he dropped dead. There was screaming, there was crying. It was Soupy's turn to throw up.
Lunchables, shark bites.
The two of them checked on Corey with some little kicks and pokes, but they figured that if he wasn't dead, he should be. In their panic, Jess and Soupy lost sight of the strange man. He had disappeared. They cautiously peeked from aisle to aisle. Jess put her hand to her ear, gesturing to Soupy to call for help. He was the closest to the counter where the cordless phone was resting in its cradle. He lightly hopped his way over to the counter, put his hand on the back of the phone, but before he could lift it, another hand slapped down on his own from behind the counter. A hand so dirty it was scaly, with fingernails that desperately needed a sawing off. It was the nasty drifter. He whispered through a smile, "Don't fight it. Let it in you, boy. Let the snow flow through you and cleanse your soul." Just then, a window shattered. Snow was flying everywhere. A gust of wind knocked Jess off of her feet, throwing her into a wall of whips. The snow suddenly formed itself into a single beam, a dust devil of snow. It kicked up and headed straight at Soupy. He opened his mouth to scream, and the cone of snow shot straight down his throat. He danced an uncomfortable boogie as the snow made its way through his entire body. It was a frosty, full-body neti pot. His innards flossed with a ribbon of snow. What entered through his mouth eventually exited out of his ass. Behind him, a vile pile of slush accumulated. "Jess, I feel so cold. Help me." A fog of condensation wafted from his mouth as he spoke, and Soupy clutched his stomach in pain. His teeth chattered and his knees knocked. Jess placed her hand on his back, and she felt his skin freezing from underneath his Captain America t-shirt.
"Soup, you're cold."
He made an attempt to speak, but nothing came out but breath vapor. Then Jess saw webs of ice beginning to form around his cheeks. She heard cracking sounds coming from his face as his eyes turned to ice. His lips went blue. Frost formed on his eyelashes, and he toppled over in one solid piece like a statue. As Jess backed away in fear, she bumped into a lingerie display, and a sexy mannequin fell on top of Soupy, shattering him into dozens of smaller chunks. His insides were glistening and frostbitten.
"Clean as a whistle,"
said the stranger while flipping through a Hot Rods and Bods magazine.
"All snow, no sins."
"Look, man, I don't know who you are, but you gotta go. This sucks."
"You really don't know who I am? Are you sure you haven't seen me somewhere before?"
The dirty old man took out an old, ragged piece of paper that had been folded several times. He slowly peeled at it, and after a few unfolds, the paper popped into the shape of a cowboy hat. He put it on and began humping the air as if he were riding a horse. Music began playing, seemingly out of nowhere. A sound carried by no speaker or voice or instrument, a music just emanating out of the air, as if composed by the frigid wind and snowy crystals. He smiled and pranced. His teeth danced along, jiggling to and fro, since most of them were all loosely dangling.
"Oh my God, you're the dude in the weird video."
"Call me the cowboy."
Jess was frozen in fear as the cowboy laughed. The music grew louder, and as if he were conducting the storm, the cowboy raised his arms, and a fierce blizzard of snow burst through the windows and crashed through the doors. Shelves were quickly buried under rising banks. Snow gathered before him and took the shape of a horse. He mounted this snow beast and galloped towards Jess. She grabbed the closest blunt instrument she could reach, the Donkey Kong. Yes, the hee-hawing super mammalian dildo with serious bucking action. She clubbed the cowboy in the head with it, knocking him off his snow-white mare. Her hand slid down towards the base of half balls, and beast mode was engaged. She battered him with the dildo as it brayed and kicked. He was nearly motionless when she raised the dong over her head and slammed it down into the rip in his nipple. It lodged itself right in his heart.
Fuck you and the hobby horse you rode in on.
The snow horse whinnied and broke up into a million ferocious snowflakes, causing a blinding flurry. Jess shielded her eyes and felt around the walls as she battled the whiteout. She found the door to the screening room and made her way in, shutting the door behind her. Then, everything went quiet. All was still in the theater, made calmer by the fuzzy sound of the static from the videotape, which was still running. Her eyes locked onto the screen. She couldn't look away. She couldn't even blink. The snowy static seemed to get bigger. Either she was approaching it, or it was approaching her. It enveloped her as the room became brighter, whiter, darker, blacker. When Alice Wonderland arrived to open the shop the next day, she saw nothing out of the ordinary. No snowbanks scaling the shelves, no dead bodies, no dildos and hearts. Everything was in place. It was just like any other day. But then she heard a sound coming from the screening room. It was a tinkling mechanical melody, playing on loop. She walked in to see what it was. And there, where the beam from the projector met the screen, was a black and white vignette that made Alice tilt her head in confusion. Why, it was Jess, in a video, on a hobby horse. Bra, panties, and a cowboy hat. She waved and smiled. She waved and smiled.
Lined up with God's word.